James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, on 77 WABC, the crown jewel of American radio.
And good afternoon, each and every one. Welcome, WABC Talk Radio 77. Indeed, this is James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, with you here for the hour. And we have a lot to talk, so we have a lot to discuss. Let's just jump right in to it. Joe Biden is expected in mere moments to tell large employers, those would be people, businesses that have over 100 employees, that they are going to be forced to require their employees to take the vaccination or submit to weekly COVID testing. All employees with 100 or more employees would have to require their workers to be vaccinated or take a weekly test. This is what the Biden administration has come up with. There will be executive orders. The Labor Department, by the way, is planning to issue an emergency temporary standard implementing that new requirement. 80 million private sector workers. 80 million of American, 80 million American citizens will be forced to take a vaccine or take the weekly test. Businesses that do not comply can face fines of up to $14,000 per violation. Employees will also have to give workers paid time off to get the vaccine or to recover from any side effects from getting vaccinated. Oh, can you see what this is going to turn into? Paid time off mandated by the Labor Department, if someone says, I have side effects from this vaccine that you forced me to take. And how long those side effects can last, I don't know. But the business will have to pay workers that claim they have side effects from taking the vaccination. The president, Joe Biden, is also expected to say that his administration plans to require vaccination for workers in most healthcare settings that receive Medicare or Medicaid reimbursement. So, ladies and gentlemen, if your healthcare establishment is connected to the government in any way, that's the chain. And the orders will come down from on high. That if you get Medicare or Medicaid money, that mandate applies to you. The president, Joe Biden, will also require federal employees in the executive branch and government contractors to be vaccinated. Now, it was thought once upon a time that he would keep the, if he ever did this, the provision that would allow for workers to say, no, I don't want that, but I'll get tested every week. Well, apparently, we won't know this for sure. I want to be clear about that until we actually hear what he says. But apparently, that stipulation has gone by the wayside. Now, you've got some big companies out there, Tyson Foods, United Airlines Holding, Walmart, Mickey D's, Walt Disney, that are requiring some or all of their employees to get vaccinated. This one is just amazing. So we shall see what else the president has to say when he speaks to the nation about this. That speech is expected to be at 5 o'clock after this show goes off for the day, sadly. So I can't weigh in on what he has to say until tomorrow, but others will. And you should keep it here all day, all night, WABC, Talk Radio 77. where every issue that is worth being discussed is discussed. Later this hour, we are going to speak with a friend of mine, Sean Spicer. The headline was from BizPac Review this morning. This is one of the first news stories I saw this morning, and I said, what? Sean Spicer goes off on Psaki. Don't you dare ever minimize my service to this nation. You got it? Now, Sean Spicer is such a calm and even personality. I said, what in the world could this be about? Well, lo and behold, I found the story. The Biden administration is giving Trump appointees to military academy boards an ultimatum. They are to resign by 6 o'clock today or get fired. Now, these boards are nonpartisan. Sean is a Naval Reserve officer. He's a commander. And he takes his service very, very seriously. This, I will not go to any further with the story. We'll wait because we will speak with Sean directly about it and get his take. If you'd like to join us today, every day, the number here is 800-848-WABC, 800-848-9222. Of course, there's news from Afghanistan. There's bound to be news from Afghanistan. And we will be newsing from Afghanistan for quite a while. The Taliban, this should be no surprise. Washington Post, Taliban bringing back its feared Ministry of Vice and Virtue, the two V's, Vice and Virtue. The last time the Taliban ruled Afghanistan, morality police roamed the streets, implementing the group's austere interpretation of Islamic law with harsh restrictions on women, strictly enforced prayer times, and even bans on kite flying and playing chess. Following its return to power, after Joe Biden surrendered, cut tail and run, leaving American allies behind, which the administration has since lied about and got caught lying about. The Taliban this week, back to the Post, formed an interim government, all men, announcing a slate of provisional ministers, all male, mostly from the Taliban's old guard. Among them, a little-known cleric, Mohammed Khalid, who is now the minister for propagation of virtue and prevention of vice. They also have, or had, a Ministry of Women's Affairs in the old government. That's gone. In Kabul, some people are expressing fears that the return of the Ministry for the Propagation of Virtue and Prevention of Vice means the Taliban is going to do what they did before. People have stopped listening to loud music in public. They fear what they know of the Taliban from past experience. There is fear in everyone's minds, says a Kabul resident. Yep, well, we knew this was coming, and it's here. Now, further news, Afghanistan, but this also affects the United States of America. Well, Virginia. The mass arrival of Afghan evacuees last month, many in need of medical care, wreaked havoc on Northern Virginia's hospital system. That prompted a regional emergency response group. One hospital became overwhelmed with patients. Federal officials lost track of where some Afghans that they brought into the country were hospitalized. Area leaders are asking the Biden administration to pay for the mounting cost to keep up with all of these hospital evacuees. And they're all complaining the hospitals are already almost at capacity. Remember, we are going through what the media says is and what we all know is a surge of the Delta variant with COVID. And while that's going on, this administration just dumped thousands of evacuees, by the way, many of them not vetted, into the hospitals. Doctors are openly, and nurses and administrators are complaining about the horrible job that this administration has done. That's a little ebonic. I like that. What has you did? Anyway, the lack of coordination has a lot of people upset. It's bad for the refugees, too. They've traveled for days, been awake for days. They have kids who haven't eaten for days. How's that possible when Joe Biden's mission was to bring these people out? This sounds like a government that doesn't know what it's doing, that can't handle. What was it the Democrats used to love to say? Oh, I can chew gum and do something else at the same time. Well, apparently they can't even chew gum with just one thing to do, because they've certainly mishandled every single aspect. Every single aspect of this surrender has been mismanaged. Every single aspect. There is an interesting column. This is from the New York Times. I'll read you the headline. I'm not going to do the story just yet. Maybe we'll hold on to the story because there's someone I want to talk to this weekend or if tomorrow we have time. Who it is? Cheryl Chumley from the Washington Times, who has an amazing podcast about governance by fear, and it's time to get stop our governance by fear. But she also has some things to say that expand that. She is a conservative Christian, and she has a viewpoint that deserves to be heard. And I want to maybe just hold the story, but I'll give you the headline. This is from the New York Times. Just listen to the headline of this. Today, God has no place in Supreme Court opinions. That's in your New York Times today. God has no place in Supreme Court opinions. It's pretty amazing. Meanwhile, Democrats are, just so you know, in committee writing up their $3.5 trillion spending bill. They are already trying to bribe Joe Manchin. He came out with a laundry list of things that he wants in order to say yes. See, this is such a scam. You know, Manchin stands like he's such the maverick. Oh, no, we need to put a pause on this. The pause he put on it was so he could roll out what he wants in order for him to vote yes. That's the pause. The Democrats are rolling it out. I'm hearing and reading that included in this $3.5 trillion welfare package that they want, they are also trying to sneak in amnesty for illegal immigrants. They are also putting in it, not even bothering to sneak in it, their climate change agenda. So what you are looking at, the Democrats are now brazenly telling America, yes, we are everything that Rush Limbaugh said we were, and more. And we are going to codify it and make you pay for it. That's what's happening now. This is James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, here with you on WABC Talk Radio 77 New York, the crown jewel of American radio. This is the station you grew up with, the station that you love. And we're here, and we will take your calls, 800-848-WABC, 800-848-9222. And we are coming right back.
Bo knows politics and so much more. A true connection to real New York on 77 WABC.
Ah, yes. Stevie brings us back in. Overjoyed. And, you know, there is a good reason to be overjoyed in some circles. Yes. One of them is when you watch your daughter go from a, you know, young baby in your arms and now she's a grown woman. Rich.
Yes,
sir. Your daughter's birthday is today, isn't that?
Yes.
Well, you have to wish her a happy birthday.
Well, thank
in
you,
fact,
Dave.
In fact, Rich, you have to sing a little bit of happy birthday to your daughter.
No, you want me to sing. You know, I have the voice for radio, but not a sing. Well, happy birthday to my dear daughter, Elizabeth. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Elizabeth. Happy birthday to you.
Love it.
How's that?
That's great,
thank
Rich.
You,
congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, Rich and I go back when we were all kids working here at WABC, and I think he was probably about his daughter's age right now when he started.
That's right.
So it's just time, just really, you know, it's a wonderful thing. So my friend Larry Elder, Larry is going to be here with us next week, probably on, we've been trying. Larry's really busy with the campaign, as you might know, and this recall election. But so far, and anything could happen, so just don't hold me to this, but so far, we have Larry booked to join us on Election Day, and we'll get a chance to talk about this. Now, many of you may know what happened, or you might not, depending on which news outlets you follow. Larry was campaigning yesterday in liberal California, going through one of the many homeless enclaves. A woman wearing a gorilla mask. Get that. A woman wearing a gorilla mask egged him, threw an egg at him. There are reports also that a pellet gun was used against members of his staff. So there were other people in his entourage that were shot with a pellet gun. Now, let me ask all of you, and I mean all of you. I don't mean just conservatives. I don't mean just Republicans. I want to ask all of you, including my liberal friends. And I have many liberal friends here in our beautiful New York. And I want to ask you a question. What do you suppose the reaction would have been if Barack Obama were campaigning somewhere, if Maxine Waters was campaigning somewhere, if Mr. Representative Clyburn were campaigning somewhere, and a quote-unquote white nationalist shows up wearing a gorilla mask and threw eggs or an egg at either Barack Obama, Maxine, or Clyburn. What do you think your mainstream media would be doing right now? I will tell you, they would be in total meltdown mode. They would be navel-gazing with each other, wondering, how did our society come to this? What must this, that this is clearly a hate crime. This is so clearly racist, and who would do such a thing? The woman has not yet been identified, which is disgraceful. She's wearing a pair of checkered Vans. She's, how shall I pay it, a little stout on a bicycle. Even she should be able to be identified, despite the fact that no one took off her gorilla mask. This is unconscionable. Let me go further. The Los Angeles Times has been writing stories about Larry Elder that are inexcusable, including by one of their columnists who says that he is the black face of white supremacy. And they keep alluding to Rush. He's trying to be worse. No, he's not. Larry Elder has always been himself. This overt, racist, violent act should be condemned in the harshest terms by everyone of goodwill, regardless of political party. And the LA Times should be asked if their virulent racist attacks on Larry Elder contributed to the environment that led to this attack. It is disgraceful. And that anyone should stand up for that. I don't care what party you are. I don't care how liberal you are. I don't care how progressive you are. I don't even care whether you're a commie. This should never happen in America to any politician that is seeking office. It is a disgrace. We are going to get your calls. We are going to speak with Sean Spicer. And time is running out, so let's do this when we get back, and we'll hurry back. Don't go away.
Welcome to the golden age of radio. James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, is on 77 WABC.
Ah, yes. Isley Brothers, for the love of you. And a shout out to my friend Chris Jasper, who is one of the Isley Brothers and who wrote this song. Chris is up here. I won't identify where he lives, but Chris is a New Yorker. And Chris Jasper is just an incredible musician, incredible singer. And he's still performing, still making records. This is one of his classics.
All we'll need is candlelight and a song.
I love this song, don't you?
Soft and long.
That's Ronnie Isley, of course, singing the lead.
Glad to be here alone.
I'm glad that you're here with me today. We are going to take your calls, and we're expecting Sean Spicer to come with us any minute. There is a story that I am going to get to before the end of the day. It's about, this story to me says priorities, priorities. Now look, California has had millions of acres over the last few years burn up. People's houses, livelihoods have burnt up. California has a homeless problem that you would not believe. Homeless people sleeping on the streets. In San Francisco, when Rush first talked about this story, I was incredulous, and to be honest with you, it was one of those where I hit the IFB, come on, you're joking, right? And he wasn't joking. And that's about how bad it is with San Francisco, where they had a group put together maps where you had to walk in San Francisco to avoid human poop on the streets. And with all of that, California right now, one of their priorities is to outlaw stealthing. And if you don't know what that is, you're in for, you may be in for a surprise. But right now, time is short. He's on the line. Sean Spicer. Sean, how are you?
I'm doing great. And it's so awesome to hear you on the air. You know, you were such a trusted friend and colleague of Rush's that it's so fitting that you're able to help carry on the mantle by being on air and having that voice out there. So I say this as a friend that I am so proud to see what you have done since Rush's horrible passing, but I'm sure he would be so proud to know that you're on every day carrying this mantle on.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you so much. Sean, I was shocked this morning. I turned to BizPack Review after, you know, I get up very early, and I look and I see this headline about you, and it's like,
yeah.
And the headline says, Sean Spicer goes off on Psaki. Don't you dare ever minimize my service to this nation. You got it? I said, what the hell is this? Because you are one of the most even-tempered, just nice guy, just even. Great guys. And so, number one, I never equate you being angry, and we all saw you stand up and deal with these people who were so hostile, and you never lost your cool with them. Never. And so I looked at this, and it took, and I was taken aback. So can you tell everyone what this is about?
Yeah, well, first, I appreciate the kind comments about my attitude, but I'll tell you, you go after my family or my integrity, and I'll come back at you. And in this case, here's the backstory. President Trump appointed me to a 3-year term to serve on the Board of Visitors for the U.S. Naval Academy, which I've done since 2019. Yesterday, President Biden fired all 18 Trump appointees to West Point, the U.S. Naval Academy, and the Air Force Academy. And then White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, when she was asked about it at the press briefing, said that, you know, it was about our qualifications. I usually don't openly talk about my military service, but I have 22 years in the military. I was a graduate of the U.S. Naval War College. I've served under 5 presidents. You know, I've never made politics part of my service at all. And not just me, but you had people like H.R. McMaster, Lieutenant General, 4-star General Jack Keane, 3-star General Lieutenant Swan, who was a former commander of Army North. And so to have Jen Psaki go up there and talk about our qualifications, you know what? James, here's the thing. I don't ever question someone's commitment or how they want to serve this country, whether it's at some school board or in a different way, you know, the Boy Scouts. There's so many ways you can serve your community in the country. I'll never question anyone. But don't you dare question my experience or my qualifications to serve. And you know what? Not one of those weasels in the White House press office or press corps said anything back. I'm not out there, you know, it was amazing to see that sort of things minimized. And for Jen Psaki to have the, you know, I don't want to say it, but to basically get out there and question not just me, but all these other individuals' qualification. By the way, yesterday, September 8th, at 6 p.m., they fired Lieutenant General H.R. McMaster from the board of West Point. And on Saturday, September 11th, he will receive West Point's highest honor from the Alumni Association. So how ironic that they're talking about people not being qualified or fit to serve, or that are frankly their values. I find it reprehensible and disgusting that this is how they've tried to frame this.
Sean, I remember in the middle of a campaign, and for politicos like you, like me, these campaign seasons are like, it's like the Super Bowl. It is what we breathe, we eat. I remember in the middle of a campaign, you left because you had to serve with the reserves. And you did your service and you came back. No one made a big deal out of it, but I remember thinking at the time, wow, you talk about a commitment. Sean, you are so committed to serving this nation, and you have been in uniform and proud of it. This is just totally disgraceful.
Well, James, there's two additional things. First, thank you. But number one, these boards have never been political. We have, for the entire history of their existence, each president appoints people, then the next president comes in, and no one's ever kicked anyone off. President Trump kept all the Obama appointees on. But politics has always been kept at the water's edge. We join these institutions because we care about the academies. We care about the training and the curriculum for future officers. And so to have somebody go out there and question that is so beneath the pale. Plus, I mean, here's the thing. You know, this is all about making sure they haven't let us meet for the whole year. They ordered this stand down of all the academies. And I think, frankly, James, part of it is because they didn't want anyone to conduct oversight or push back on inserting things like critical race theory into the curriculum. So I this is more of the Biden administration trying to institute their woke agenda into the academies and into the military. But there's no explanation from this. And you have a feckless, weak White House press corps that won't tell the truth on this.
You know, this is just another example of the kind of distrust that Joe Biden is spreading across the nation. And he was supposed to be, remember, the candidate of unity. He was going to be the guy that unified the country after what he called what was the chaos years of Donald Trump. He was going to be the adult in the room. And this is as partisan and as wicked a political move as any move that has been made. It's just, it is unbelievable. And I am so glad that you're speaking out about this and let people be. Do you plan to resign at 6 o'clock, by the way?
No. No, in fact, I just got a call from President Trump. I told him I'm not resigning, and I'm actually joining a lawsuit that says that they had no right to institute the stand down that occurred. This was unprecedented. This is a congressionally chartered academy board that they had no right to do that on.
Excellent. Now, Sean, where can people find you? You are a star on TV in your own right, which we love.
Thank you. I'm on Newsmax TV every night at 6 o'clock. We'll be on. We're literally about to go on set and get ready for the show tonight. The beautiful thing about Newsmax is you don't need a cable subscription. If you have cable, we're on every outlet. If you don't, you can go to YouTube. You can go to the Newsmax app. I also have a new book out called Radical Nation, James, that is going to look at the Biden-Harris administration for the first time in a comprehensive way. The people and the policies, you can go to Amazon and just look for Radical Nation or Sean Spicer and it comes up. When I wrote the book, I had no idea how prophetic it was going to be. The idea was to show people where I think they were headed. I had no idea it would be this bad.
Amazing. Sean, thank you for coming on with us. And keep WABC on while you're watching, Sean, please.
Of course. You can do that. Just put the TV on and then listen to James.
Sean, thank you. And we hope to be hearing from you again, and I hope that we get a good resolve with this. This is a disgraceful moment in American history. And thank you for standing up for American values. And thank you most of all, Sean, for your continued love and service for this nation.
Absolutely. And I appreciate your friendship and you always having me on and being there to listen. So I appreciate and thank you for everything that you're doing to get the word out and to help make sure that people have the side of the story that they're never going to get from the mainstream media.
Absolutely. Thanks, Sean. James Golden here on WABC Talk Radio 77. We are coming back right after this. Don't you dare go away. Your calls are coming up next.
Entertaining and informative. James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, is on the air. 77 WABC.
Sting brings us back on WABC Talk Radio 77, New York. The crown jewel of American radio. Rich.
Yes, Jay.
What time is it?
It is time for the...
This is the James Golden Clip of the Day.
We are continuing to press the Taliban to do more, to abide by allowing American citizens to depart the country. We don't have a role in preventing flights from taking off. We are not on the ground. So that is not something the U.S. government is doing. But at the same time, some of these planes and some of the issues is where are they going to land? So a number of these planes, they may have a handful of American citizens, but they may have several hundred individuals where we don't have manifests for them. We don't know what the security protocols are for them.
You don't know anything, do you?
And there are some challenges as it relates to documentation, where a number of people may not have documentation.
You brought hundreds here, thousands perhaps, with no documentation. This woman, please, the little redhead firecracker. I mean, anyway, time for telephones. You all know the deal. We have little time on the show. So please, I ask you, I beg you, write to your point. And we love you, all of my callers. We love you so much. But get to your point. Where are we starting, Rich?
James, we are starting with Lynn in Jamaica, New York.
Oh, my hometown. Hi, Lynn. Welcome to WABC Talk Radio 77.
Thank you. The Larry Elder and his surrogate should be calling the Democrat Party racist. Look what they did to him. Hate crime, throwing eggs at Larry Elder, who we love. The GOP just sits there and accepts, yes, we're racist, and we have to listen to what the Democrats say about us. This is unbelievable. They never fight back effectively. There should be racist, you know, name-calling work, James.
Well, we did our part here. Lynn, and you have just called them out. I'm calling them out, and let us call on every American, not just conservatives. Every American should call out the racist behavior that took place in California against Larry Elder. It is a disgrace to America. Where are we going next, Rich?
Next, we will go to Larry in Sunset Park.
Sunset Park. Hi, Larry. Welcome to WABC Talk Radio 77. Hello, Larry.
We just lost Larry.
Goodbye, Larry.
Let's go to Neil in Poughkeepsie.
Oh, Poughkeepsie, New York. Hi, Neil. How are you?
I'm okay. My question is, what's it going to take for the states to call an Article 5 convention?
A lot more, because most people aren't even aware of it, and because you have to build something like that up from grassroots efforts first. And there are a number of fears about a convention like that. You see that Republicans right now cave in on certain and lose battles that they shouldn't lose. If you open up an Article 5 convention and liberals actually dominate it, the country will be worse off than it is now. But that is not to say that it is not a legitimate option. There has to be a whole lot more education of the electorate before that takes place. Great call, Neil. Thank you. Where are we up to next, Rich?
We are going to Carol in New Jersey.
Hello, Carol. Welcome to WABC Talk Radio 77.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
It's so nice to be here.
Thank you. You too.
You know, I still listen to Larry Elder's program because he has another person that's filling in for him. And he was on last night. I think it's absolutely terrible what happened to him.
It is. And, Carol, you should be listening to WABC all night long. Okay, but we love you. Now, it is a disgrace. Now, what do you think, though? What do you think is – have you seen any news reports condemning what happened to Larry Elder anywhere?
Not at all. I haven't heard a thing.
Uh-huh.
I haven't heard a thing, believe it or not.
And what do you think would happen if it were Obama who was egged by some white nationalist? Yeah.
Probably it would be all over the news.
It would be all over the news nonstop. That would be the only story. Carol, I love you. Thank you for calling. Where are we up to next?
Let's say hi to Mike in St. James.
Hey, Mike, where exactly is St. James?
Suffolk County, 50 miles from Times Square on the North Shore.
Oh, it's North Shore. Oh, near Smithtown. Okay, I know where it is now. Thank you, Mike. Mike, what's on your mind today?
Oh, have you heard of this whopper? I just got it off Google. Senator Manchin's wife was appointed to a White House committee or staff, $160,000 a year job.
You're talking about Manchin, right, in West Virginia?
Yes.
Yeah, I had heard something about an appointment. I'll have to look into that. Do you think
that's
going to affect his vote?
No. Have you ever heard of the Golden Fleece Award?
Yes, of course.
Senator Proxmire?
Yes, Senator William Proxmire. I used to look out for that every month when I was a kid. It was one of the funny things I enjoyed reading about.
You should make it a feature of your show, the new Golden Fleece Awards.
What a brilliant idea. Mike, that's brilliant. We're going to have to try to do that.
I'll accept it.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate your call. Rich, where are we up to next?
We are up to Gracie in New City.
Hello, New City, New York. Hi, Gracie. Welcome to WABC Talk Radio 77, James Golden.
Hi, Bo. Listen, last night I got a call from the Republican Party.
They were begging for money?
Begging for money, and I gave the woman a bigger headache than she gave me.
I
said everything. I'm a disciple of my love, Rush. And so I knew what I was talking about. I think the poor thing was not angry, but stunned. But where are they with this Larry Elder business? This is absolutely disgraceful.
Exactly. And every single Republican should be out talking about it. and demanding from Democrats that they all apologize for their Newsom supporter out there and calling it what it is, a hate crime. Gracie, I love you. You never call too much. We love hearing from you. Thank you, darling. Where are we headed next?
James, we are headed to Mike in Aberdeen, New Jersey.
Aberdeen, New Jersey. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the program. Mike, I have a question to ask you.
Sure, James.
Do you know what stealthing is?
No.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Not a clue.
Okay, so I'm going to use your call, if you don't mind, to tell you what stealthing is, okay?
Sure. No problem.
Because this is the big deal in California. Never mind the homeless. Never mind the fires. Never mind the fact that their economy is up and down. The taxes are crazy. Gas prices are ridiculous. Never mind the borders are out of control. California lawmakers are the first state to outlaw stealthing, which is removing a condom without permission during intercourse. This is what their concern is. Legislators sent Gavin Newsom a bill on Tuesday defining stealthing, removing a condom without obtaining verbal consent, as sexual battery. This
amazing
is what they're thinking about in California. What's on your mind?
Okay, I'm so happy that congratulations of your new appointment. I'm very happy for you.
Thank you.
I'm glad. Also glad you had Sean Spicer on. What we need is a national newspaper. Because who's going to hear about what Spicer just taught? It's such an important thing, and this is the first I heard of it on your show.
Well, guess what? There is something in the works that I am not privileged to talk about coming out.
Oh, I'm so glad.
I think I can give the name, maybe. It's American Wire. Maybe not. But anyway, it's coming. And it's coming soon. And you will be seeing national stories all over the place if this venture takes off. And we hope it does.
Hopefully it'll be USA Today.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's going to be awesome. We have time for one more. Where are we going? At least one more.
Sure. Let's go to Sharon right here in New York City.
Hello, Sharon. Welcome to WABC Talk Radio 77 with James Golden.
Yes, hi. I just heard about the gorilla thing through your show.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to point out it might be a group called an artist collective called the Gorilla Girls.
Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure, but it might make sense. I just took a look at the image when I heard on your show. So,
yeah.
So you might.
Well, whoever they are, they're disgraceful. And throwing eggs at Larry Elder while wearing a gorilla mask is clearly, if you want to use liberal terms, a hate crime. And it should be prosecuted and it should be reported. One more, if you can keep it to underneath 30 seconds. No, we don't have time for one more. I wish. There's always tomorrow, and I will be here tomorrow. James Golden with you here on WABC Talk Radio 77, the crown jewel of American radio in this, the greatest city in the world, the greatest country that humanity has ever witnessed, America. God love you and protect you. I'll be back tomorrow. Bye.